Well, the Sharks' playoff run has come to an end.
The San Jose Sharks have a deep history of playoffs heartbreak. They tend to play successful regular seasons only to fall short in the postseason.
Fans came to the Shark Tank hoping for a crucial win, but ended up with a familiar sinking sensation instead.
I'm feeling pretty upset right now. We should have been a little bit longer than that. It's almost like the same thing every year. It gets really disappointing.
Every year the same thing. Always so close and so nothing.
It was bad. It was tough. Yeah, and this is like a constant thing year in and out. So
fans took solace in other wins for the Bay Area tonight.
The Warriors kicked butt, but unfortunately, Sharks didn't take care of business like we wanted them to.
And you can see and feel the disappointment of fans all around the SAP Center this evening. With time still on the clock, even the diehards were looking for ways to console themselves.
We still have about 5 minutes. Ice cream in your hand.
Yes. And hockey starts in October. We're all happy in October.
Welcome in. Good Thursday to you. Game day. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Your home for Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman, all in studio here.
We're a team.
Hi, guys.
We are a team. Ryan the Hockey Guy getting set up, doing one of his 46 things. Ryan wears many hats.
Hey, man. When headphones. Shark fighter. Good. And I missed it. I missed it. Are you serious? Are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No, that was the open.
I have a canned open that I save for the Sharks because it's all about their playoff failures. However, I will say if you are a fan of rejoins, just wait till you hear the song that I have coming back.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, I'm glad I'll get to hear one of them.
And that song will lead into Shang Pang, who will be joining us in the second half of the show today.
Shang Pang.
Who we should let know that does not apply to him.
Well, we'll tell him after the fact. Okay. Like, I'm not gonna tip him off or anything. But, you know, headphones. Sometimes, man, in a radio station, headphones are hard to come by.
Well, yeah, it's been doing this for many, many years, and it has always kind of amazed me how many people come into a radio station to do radio shows and don't bring headphones. You'd think that'd be something that would be kind of Radio 101, but maybe somebody just went right through the advanced class.
You know what is collective bargaining agreement 101? What's having that? To painstakingly figure out why emergency recalls are used instead of just regular recall assignments, and shouldn't we all just love the fact that we cover the Golden Knights? Because it almost seems like every time somebody is recalled from the AHL, there needs to be some work done to figure out what the heck it all means.
Yeah, some kind of explanation or something has to follow exactly what's going on.
Well, because when you tweet out, as I did yesterday, the Golden Knights have recalled Nick Waugh from the Chicago Wolves as an emergency recall. All of a sudden, emergency alarm bells, fans, oh my goodness, Alex Tuch's hurt again.
Now, who's hurt? Who's going down?
No, what happened?
It was assumed it was Alex Tuch.
It was assumed that it was Alex Tuch. Now, in fairness, that's a safe assumption. In the game against Toronto, Alex Tuch goes into a corner. He gets hit. He's off balance. He hits the ice. Didn't necessarily seem like he was okay after the hit. Continued the shift. Looked fine. Played their whole rest of the game, didn't skate yesterday at practice. So it's a pretty safe assumption. But the problem is we don't really have any information until today. So go to morning skate. One of the first guys on the ice, Alex Tuch. So crisis averted, right? It's an optional morning skate. More forwards are missing than there are forwards on the ice. So we can't really draw any conclusions. Ken Bulkey, Simbin.Vegas, asked Gerard Gallant in the press conference, is Nick Waugh expected to be in the lineup? Gallant says, it's a possibility, but I'm expecting the same lineup. So, as Gallant would explain, there was a minor something, minor health, minor injury, whatever you want to call it, that plagued a Golden Knight forward, and that's important. It's a forward, not a defenseman, not a goalie. It's a forward that plagued a Golden Knights forward yesterday. So much so that management felt the need to have a safety net in Nick Waugh here available, ready to play.
And they needed somebody up.
Exactly. So if I'm reading between the lines, the last time we saw this happen was Marc-Andre Fleury, Garrett Sparks, emergency recall. Sparks was backup to Malcolm Subban. Fleury did not dress for the game, and it was for flu, essentially, right? So I'm thinking maybe a player didn't feel well yesterday. It became apparent that it's a possibility this player does not play, is not available to play tonight. So therefore, the organization made an emergency recall of Nick Waugh. I don't know that I expect Waugh to play tonight.
Right. But if needed, he's there.
Right.
Is essentially the bottom line.
Just like a regular recall.
And by the way, speaking of that game tonight, we have two pair of tickets for that game. So stay tuned for that.
I got to look up some high numbers. Chris Chapman got it easy yesterday.
And it's
what do you mean easy? They were relevant. Cody Glass scored his first ever goal against the Sharks, therefore number 9. And our friend Uffe Bodin from Sweden picked 25 because that's how many points Lucas Elvinus has.
Plus, the other thing where Cody Glass would have fit in, too, not only his first goal against the Sharks, but just had his first power play goal the last game.
There we go. See?
Uffe was going to go with William Carlson's number, and you guys talked him out of it somewhere.
No, we did not.
It's ridiculous. No, I was listening. Not. I listened. Don't tell me what I didn't hear.
I told him that was fine.
Yeah.
I like William Carlson. That's fine. He could go with
joke.
Carlson.
It's a joke.
Now, I know what we were discussing before the show. That's not the only time that they were wrong yesterday, right? We're going to get into that a little bit later on, too.
Can I? Are we? We have to preview the game, and then I get to have my victory dance?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Awesome.
All right. Let's do that right now. Vegas Golden Knights keys to the game. The game against the San Jose Sharks tonight, which we will have two pair of tickets for, brought to us by Honda North. So what are the keys if Vegas is to win outside of just playing like they did the first two times against the Sharks? Because the Sharks have been playing better of late, although they lost their last game. They were on a 6-game winning streak before that one. And certainly a guy that wasn't in the lineup those first two games, Evander Kane, who leads them in goals, will be back in the lineup tonight for the Sharks.
Yeah, I think the big thing for me when it comes to Vegas tonight against San Jose is to play within yourself. Do not do anything after the whistles. I don't know that that's the type of game we're going to be in for, although rivalry games tend to get amped up a little bit, regardless of if you're trying to or not. These two teams, it's clear that they do not like each other, and that's totally fine. But that all being said, the Golden Knights are going to need to stay away from some of the post-whistle scrums. They didn't do a great job of it against the Calgary Flames, but they were kind of in command of the entire game. And then, you know, outside of that, X's and O's, attack, 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 attack Brent Burns, attack Erik Karlsson. Force those two guys to play defense more often than they are trying to run around in the offensive zone. If you do that, you'll be fine.
All right, so those are the keys. And, of course, we will be on with the pregame show up from Hyde Lounge once again at 6:30. And at 7 p.m., we will throw it over to Dan Duva and Gary Lawless for the play-by-play. So yesterday, we were both off the show.
Well, yes, we were
We were both off, but you were on.
We had to call an audible, and I should have known this was coming.
Predicted it.
I've been banging this drum since Monday. I've been banging the drum since Monday, right?
I believe on social media you were even saying that it was basically the Mike Babcock
farewell tour. Right. So the Pittsburgh Penguins they factor into the story. Believe me, I'm serious. The Toronto Maple Leafs embarked on a 6-game road trip. They went down to Pittsburgh to play a game against the Penguins, a game in which nobody showed up for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Literally no one. They left their rookie goaltender out to dry the entire game. Kazimir Kaskisuo, first NHL game, completely abandoned by his entire team. Gave up nothing. They had nothing. Nothing. And then you understand that before this trip even started, the questions were there from the media in Toronto whether or not this trip would be the end of Mike Babcock. I talked about it on Monday. Is it a roster management versus a roster deployment issue with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I've come down on it being a mismanagement of the players and how they are utilized. That would be coaching. That all being said, they have the stinker in Pittsburgh, and you say to yourself, well, why didn't they make a decision then? Here's the thing. They did. They did make a decision then. It's just sometimes these things take time. So, Chris, go ahead and roll the first clip. It seems inevitable. It seemed inevitable. And this is taken from Elliot Friedman, his 31 Thoughts podcast with Jeff Merrick up in Canada for Sportsnet. Friedman, former GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Brian Burke, and Merrick talk about how it seemed like this was inevitable.
I think coaches know, Jeff. I think they do. I mean, I don't have Brian's experience, but I've been around to see it. And there's no way Mike Babcock didn't see this coming. I can't understand how anybody would think after that Pittsburgh game that something big, either trade or coach, wasn't going to happen.
So here's the thing. It was going to happen, right? You felt it coming. And yesterday on the show, I made the bold statement that I didn't think it would have mattered. Had the Maple Leafs come back and won that game, had they forced overtime, whatever. I made the statement that I literally don't think it would have mattered.
Win, lose, or draw,
win,
Babcock
lose or draw,
was gone.
Babcock was gone, right? And I think I got a little bit of pushback on that because you can't fire your coach after a win.
Although it has been done.
It has been done. Because it all comes down to the overall trajectory of your team and where they're going. What if Toronto won that game? Then they have a stinker in Arizona, or they, you know, you're waiting for the right time to do this.
You're waiting for a loss, essentially.
Right. So you're playing, and despite potentially having a better product and knowing that you're in the right lane, you're just hoping for the next loss to be able to do this. It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's like you're rooting against going on a winning streak.
Exactly. So that brings us to our next clip. Again, from Burke, from Elliot Friedman, from Jeff Merrick, on if they would have won the game in Vegas, would it have mattered?
Ultimately, we'll never know the answer to this question unless one of the primaries says something about it, but if the Leafs don't lose that game against Vegas, is there still a new coach in Toronto? We have seen coaches fired after wins, so it wouldn't be the first time.
DiCarbonell, who went to the Hall of Fame, was fired. Yeah. Like, these guys are process guys. This was happening even if they beat Vegas.
When we fired Bob McCammon in Vancouver, we actually played a really respectable game that night. We outshot the Rangers badly. I think we had 45 shots on net. And I remember saying to Pat Quinn, you know, like, does this change our evaluation? And Pat's like, no. He said, we follow a process here. We determine we're going to make a coaching change, and by God, we're making a coaching change. He said, even if we'd won tonight by 8 goals, we still were going to make that change.
I was right.
Even if we'd won tonight by 8 goals.
It's a process.
Could you imagine a team winning 8-0 or 9-1 and then the coach getting fired?
Well, here's the thing. Michel Therrien, a couple years back, was the coach of the Montreal Canadiens, and they were in first place. But the Bruins decided that they were going to fire Claude Julien. And the next day, Therrien was fired. So that Julien could be the coach of the Montreal Canadiens. Like, when you identify a process and you want that process to take place, it's going to take place. It doesn't matter what the results are. And that's what I keep telling people that want to listen, or people that are frustrated with results that are not there, or people that are frustrated by advanced statistics pointing out that the Golden Knights should be better than they are. It is not necessarily about immediate results or individual results. It is about a process and how you get from point A to point B to point C to eventually the playoffs. And right now, that's not a guarantee for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Had they continued to wait, despite wins, right? Like, let's just say the Maple Leafs, under Mike Babcock, win, they come back against Vegas, and they win. And then let's say that they win their next three or four games. And nothing really changes. Like, the results are there. Maybe they get lucky. A couple of bounces here or there that end up in the back of the net that they weren't getting earlier on in the year. Has anything been fixed?
No, all it has
fundamentally
been is, yeah, you've just put off doing what you were going to do anyhow. And also, potentially injuring or giving the coach that you're going to put in that place, not giving him the opportunity to have that success that you all of a sudden have become fortunate enough to get.
It was always going to happen. Whether it was going to happen in Vegas, whether the loss moved it up, I don't know. But it was always going to happen. It just felt like Vegas was it. Win, lose, or draw, no matter what, it was going to be Vegas.
And he got a nice couple days here in Vegas right before, you know, his last gig with the Maple Leafs.
Do you find it?
Plus, also, you have a feeling that he knew it, too, because remember, we played on that earlier in the week when he was basically saying, if my kids weren't growing in that, I wouldn't even be here. He basically was telling them right out, I know you guys are letting me go, so I'm going to let you know that this isn't the greatest place to be anyhow, essentially. When he said that statement, he really forced it. If they were going to wait until a loss and they would have won in Vegas, he kind of forced their hand.
So I'm not going to pat myself on the back too much, but the fact that I share the same viewpoint as Elliot Friedman, I'm going to take that all day long. He is fantastic in terms of coverage when it comes to the NHL and when it comes to hockey. I'm a little less excited about the fact that I share the same opinion as Brian Burke, but I mean, he was a GM in the league for a long time. I suppose I'll take that too.
Now, how about the opinion of General Manager Kyle Dubas, who just recently came out and said, quote, I'm disappointed in myself that coming into the job, knowing Mike was the coach, you certainly want everything to work out. Now, this is what he told assembled media, including TSN on Thursday. I tried to do as best I could, and I'm disappointed in myself and only myself that it didn't work out, that we couldn't become symbiotical on every single topic.
All right, just shout out to symbiotical being used in a statement
in a hockey
to the media.
Conversation
yeah,
to
I
the
like
media.
That.
Yeah,
way
yeah.
to go, Kyle Dubas. So here's the thing. Kyle Dubas did not hire Mike Babcock. Mike Babcock was there. Brendan Shanahan, Lou Lamoriello, those are the guys that brought in Mike Babcock. It was kind of a weird situation in which everyone knew from the minute Kyle Dubas was named general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs that eventually he was going to choose his head coach, and it was going to be Sheldon Keefe. The problem was that Mike Babcock has an 8-year deal. So it was always going to happen. At some point, it was going to happen. Now, Dubas taking some responsibility in it not being a symbiotic relationship, in it not being that those two guys were ever on the same page, I put a lot of that on Babcock because it felt like there were moments where Mike could have changed or tried a different approach or listened to what management wanted him to do with certain players. He just didn't do it. And I look to his final game as being one of the best examples of that. Because Mike Babcock scratched Jason Spezza from the home opener in Toronto. Jason Spezza from the area. That was a big moment. Bought tickets for his family. Scratched him. Scratched him. He's been in his doghouse all since the beginning of this season. And I just find it really fitting that the guy that Mike Babcock refused to really buy into is the guy that factored into the only two goals that were scored by the Maple Leafs in Mike Babcock's final game. If that's not this guy's message, this guy's usage of players is wrong, I don't know what is.
I want to read you one more thing that Dubas said real quickly here, because I know we have Shane Payne coming up here in just a little bit. He also went on to say, our ups and downs, our inconsistency a little bit, and just kind of reading off the players and watching them and how they were reacting to different things, that it was time to potentially go down this path.
Well, I will say this. The players do not get off the hook for this. They quit on their coach. And regardless of if they quit on him last year and they were just tired and done and over it, if you don't want to play for your coach, play for each other.
Play for each other, play for the city, play for whatever.
If you don't want to play for your coach, play for your rookie goalie in his first NHL start and do not put an embarrassing effort out in front of him, because he's got to live that one down. That's his first taste of the NHL, and it is a garbage game that you guys put out in front of him. And if you don't want to play for your coach, play for him. But they don't get it. They don't get an easy out, because the next time this team goes through a stretch like this, it's not the coach. It's some of the players in the room. That's the difference.
Then you heard some of the players, including Austin Matthews, saying that there was frustration in that, and you kind of had a sense that things were not well. You know, and just changing the coach, although it can make a big change in a lot of different things, it will be interesting to see where Toronto goes from there, because they certainly have talent.
They are a very talented team. I'm interested to see what the next 2 to 4 weeks look like for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Chang Pang, Fear the Fin coming up next. But the San Jose Sharks in town tonight, and we have not one but two pair of tickets to give away. So, what number say you, sir?
You know what? It pains me to do this.
Does it really? Yeah, it does.
It pains me to do this, but I'm going to have to go with number 88, Brent Burns.
Number 88, Ryan's in pain, helping me ease that pain by being called number 88. 702-876-1340, 702-876-1340. Back with Chang Pang next. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey.
Kane just took a swipe with the ref. Vander Kane is not doing himself any favors. Tim and Englund were going back and forth.
I think they're selling Kane, your night is over. I believe.
Well, and there's the little play. Englund and Kane come together, and Englund a little push. See, not much going on. And then some words. There's the slash from Evander Kane on Englund.
And you wonder if you're Englund too, Shane.
This is where the linesman grabs him, but when they get up, there's the shot and push by Kane.
My bills are all due, and the baby needs shoes, and I'm busted.
Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Chang Pang from Fear the Fin going to be joining us in just a moment. Real quick, the lady who won the tickets, could you please call us back real quick? Because we need one more piece of information from you. So if you could give us a call, 702-876-1340, that would be great. Always great when we have Chang Pang on with us. Chang, thanks for making time and joining us here today as the San Jose Sharks come back to T-Mobile Arena.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, buddy. So, number one, Aaron Dell. It looks like he's getting the start tonight in Vegas. Is it better to just have him start the game or have him come in the second period?
Well, you're trying to reverse the jinx, right? Martin Jones has been pulled, what, how many times in San Jose now? Four times, five times? So maybe Martin Jones will come in for Aaron tonight.
Wouldn't that just be anarchy, though?
You haven't seen San Jose's goaltending in the last year or so. I think it's been anarchy for a year and running now.
Buddy, I'm looking at it right now. Martin Jones, a 3.34 goals against average, 8.85 save percentage. Aaron Dell, a 3.83 goals against average and an 8.78 save percentage. Why? Like, how are these two guys this poor, and why is that okay for this organization that is in win-now mode?
Well, it's hard to answer that question because up to last year, Jones was fairly consistent. Dell was an excellent backup up to before last year. So you can trot out a number of reasons. One of them might be that San Jose has become more offensive when they added Erik Karlsson. It's not to put it on Erik Karlsson, because a lot of Ottawa teams have had success with Carlson, and the goaltenders have had success with him. So it's not just on him, but perhaps, and it's just speculation, it's just a theory, but perhaps a more offensive team and a goalie like Jones isn't as strong dealing with kind of a maybe not quite as defensively tight team as he's used to. In his early days in San Jose, and also when Jones was in LA too, playing behind those excellent Kings teams. So that's just a theory. But in terms of a San Jose management and whether or not they're okay with it, of course they're not okay with what they have here. But I'm not sure if they have much choice. They have Jones signed for a number of years. And he's sort of your guy, and you have to kind of hope that he can come back. It's not like he hasn't done it before, and that's what we keep harping on, that for 3 years he was a pretty excellent, at least average to above-average starter for San Jose. And so if you start throwing him under the bus every night, and you have this guy signed for years, you know, what are you going to do? But there will come a point, and it may be coming relatively soon, where push comes to shove, and they just need some new blood in there. And so we'll see when they get there, but not quite there yet, but we're not too far from it either, probably.
Well, Corey Snyder was available. He was on waivers, but it might have been a salary cap issue or something. So.
I don't know if that's the answer either.
I certainly don't think so in New Jersey right now. Shang, let's talk about a gentleman who didn't play the first couple times these two teams met in the regular season. He'll be back tonight, and he's been lighting it up recently for the Sharks. Evander Kane back in town, and we know that T-Mobile Arena loves it when Evander's on the ice.
Yeah, Evander has done a really nice job this year, especially for filling in Joe Pavelski's spot in front of the net on the power play. Evander, I think, was for a while in the top three in power play goals. He's kind of slowed down a little bit, but he's done a nice job though, because a lot of people, when Pavelski left, you know, they pointed at Pavelski's net front presence, and Kane has done a great job of stepping in. Actually, Kane has 6 power play goals this year, I think, and Pavelski had 12 last year, so can't argue with that kind of production. And obviously, San Jose will need him because tonight. Because their forward depth, as we know, is not quite what it was last year. So they need all the help they can get, especially because they'll be missing Hurdle.
You know, Shang, I'm looking through some of the stats so far this year for some of the important players when it comes to the San Jose Sharks. And I know that Logan Couture is leading the team with 22 points, but almost it just doesn't seem like this is correct. Only 3 goals for Logan Couture. What is going on with him in terms of just not being able to find the back of the net?
I think a lot of it is sometimes the shooting percentages come in waves. So I think Logan's just kind of going through that. I think he's getting a good amount of chances. I'm not too concerned with Logan. He still shows a lot of the two-way kind of dependable play that we're used to. And so I think the goals will come.
What about Joe Thornton? 0 goals, 6 assists. That's all he has on the year. Is this kind of the year where time is catching up to Joe Thornton?
Yeah, unfortunately, that appears to be the case. There is a stat that I tweeted out a couple of days ago that Thornton hasn't scored his first 22 games of the season. He's gone goalless, and that matches his worst goalless streak to start a season in his rookie year. In his rookie year, his first 21 games, he didn't score a goal before scoring a goal in his 22nd game. And, of course, that rookie year it was a long time ago. It was in 1997, and Ray Bourque was Joe Thornton's teammate, if you can believe that. And so, yeah, it appears that there's a good chance that Father Time has caught up to Thornton. Of course, you know, people have been shoveling dirt on his grave for a couple of years yet, so he may pull himself out of it. But the problem, too, with San Jose in terms of just how that affects, you know, Joe Thornton not being quite even what he was last year, is it affects just the entire idea of San Jose having a 4-line attack. 3 lines that are top 6 caliber, which they had last year. But Joe Thornton, if he's not, you know, they depend so much on him. He's the backbone of that third line. And with him not playing at what they hoped, and also losing all the forwards that they lost at free agency, San Jose has become basically a 2-line team with a bunch of fourth liners filling out the rest of the roles, and that's not a winning formula.
Our good friend Shang Peng from Fear the Fin joining us. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. You mentioned the lack of depth at the forward position. Certainly injuries affect that as well. But are there some players that San Jose was counting on, maybe some young players or something, that haven't quite clicked yet for them, that they're still looking for big things from this season?
Yeah, and I certainly have put a lot of hope on Thornton being able to continue his success from last year, and it hasn't been there. Of course, Thornton's not a young player, and there's something dangerous about relying on a 40-year-old so much as they have with Thornton. But speaking of the younger players, though, Marcus Sorensen is a guy that hasn't replicated his success last year at Thornton's side. Those two kind of formed the backbone of the third line. Timo Meier is, of course, the biggest name in the news that just really has been a not as consistent as he was last year in terms of his scoring chances, hitting the net as much as he has, crashing the net, which he was a big presence last year. And I think with Timo, though, a lot of it is also just shooting percentages, too, and so he'll have some correction there, but he hasn't had the year that they expected. Kevin LeBanc has been up and down, not as up and down as Meier, but up and down a bit. So that's another guy that they're hoping more from. And then we go on to like all their prospects, or their very, very young players, like a guy like Dylan Gambrell, which they were hoping for more from that. He might, early on the season, they gave him the job next to Evander Kane and Thomas Hertl on the second line at the wing there, and he couldn't quite cut it there. And so right now, San Jose is a team with maybe five top six-ish forwards and a bunch of fourth liners right now.
You know, Shang, about 2 weeks ago, maybe 2.5 weeks ago, it appeared that San Jose might be one of the worst teams in the league. They have gotten themselves back to just around 500. What's changed? Or has anything changed?
I think some of their one thing San Jose still has, and I think one thing to have hope in this year for San Jose fan and going forward is that their high end of players is still a high end group of players, even if they weren't playing as well. Guys like Erik Karlsson, Brent Burns, Logan Couture, Thomas Hertl, Evander Kane, that's a really, really nice start to a team in terms of talent. And so some of those guys, their play corrected itself. Hertl, of course, is one guy. He's not playing tonight, but Hertl scored seven goals in the month of November. He's one of the big reasons for the turnaround. But again, though, the high end of talent, those guys started playing better. But I think in the long run, though, they're still going to be betrayed by their lack of depth.
When it comes to the Pacific Division this year, and you look at some of the other teams, Edmonton, Arizona, Vancouver playing better than they were, all of those are believed to be better. Is San Jose in trouble of maybe not getting a playoff spot right now because of the increased talent in the Pacific, or do you think there really is increased talent in the Pacific?
I'm not sure if there's not really that much increased talent in the Pacific overall. I will say that I think Arizona is very legitimate. I think they'll be there. I don't know if Edmonton is really that legitimate. Obviously, we know they have McDavid and Draisaitl, and they have actually formed a semblance of a second line in Nugent Hopkins and Neal, which they didn't have last year, too. But they're still kind of a two-line-ish team, too. I don't think they have the depth to last. And I think their goaltending, which is playing great right now, I'm not sure. I'm not confident that that's going to last. But I do think San Jose is 100% in trouble of not making the playoffs. Once again, this isn't the NBA. NBA, you have a couple of star players and coach with that and make the playoffs. NHL, you need the your middle class of players to be strong. And I know I've harped on this point a lot, but the middle class of San Jose's forwards, their middle six forwards, just aren't there so far this year. And maybe they will be. Maybe they'll get there. But Thornton obviously has his resume. Thornton, I believe, has the talent. Marlowe has been a decent addition for them, actually, but they definitely need to add another player into that middle six mix if they want to make any noise this year.
You're not sold on the Edmonton Oilers? Get out of here! Come on.
No, I am not sold on unless
yeah, well,
and McDavid starts keeps going at a 2 point a game pace, I mean, well, you know.
Like, I know you buy in, carry them. I know you buy into stats and everything, but like, come on, mm-hmm. they're for real. Come on, the Oilers, totally for real. honestly, man, I look to these games. They're always entertaining. They're always fun. What are you kind of looking at in terms of tonight's game? How do the Sharks come into Vegas and get a win, or how do Vegas shut down the Sharks?
Well, I think for San Jose, Arundel, for all his inconsistencies, has the ability to steal a game here and there. And actually, he did it earlier this year in Montreal, where he was incredible in a game that the Sharks did not deserve to win. And so he is capable of putting out that kind of performance. So he might be able to pull one out. It'll be very tough for the Sharks tonight, though, because they are missing their best forward in Tomas Hertl tonight. So I think the formula for them is to ride Adele, and hopefully he can get them there. In terms of Vegas and what Vegas needs to do tonight, Vegas just needs to do what they do. Their forward, I know there's been a lot of talk about their forwards, you know, where Cody Eakin belongs, that sort of thing. But those are problems that San Jose wishes that they had. That they had the option of putting a player as good as Cody Eakin as their fourth line center. San Jose does not have that depth up front this year. And so Vegas just needs to play their game and get the saves from Marc-Andre. saves like the one that he made on Patan in the last game will go a long way. And, yeah, Vegas should be fine tonight if they just play their game.
So speaking of the save that fired Mike Babcock, is there any concern over Pete DeBoer maybe over the next, say, 3 or 4 weeks if San Jose kind of spirals out again? Do you think that there's the option or the potential that Pete DeBoer is maybe the next coach to go?
I think the big difference in the DeBoer and Babcock situations, though, is that and we're learning more about it as in the aftermath of Babcock's firing. But there was a clear kind of philosophical difference between Babcock and Dubas, you know, between the coaching staff and the front office. I don't see that kind of philosophical difference between DeBoer and the San Jose front office. I think they both agree that the best possible San Jose team features Burns and Carlson and features attack around those guys and forwards attacking the net and you know, tipping in Burns and Carlson's shots. Like, that's the kind of the ecosystem, San Jose offensive ecosystem, and that's something that very few teams can replicate because they don't have guys like Burns and Carlson. So I think there's an agreement there between DeBoer and front office and the front office, which should buy DeBoer more time. That said, though, San Jose, of course, is a very expensive team and with a lot of expectations, and so if something goes badly south in the next couple weeks to a month, you never know. But for what it's worth, San Jose has a great schedule in November. They play 15 games in November, 11 at home, and their four road games are in Arizona, Vegas, LA, and Anaheim. So this is the runway to get back into the race. And San Jose has done a decent job of that. They're 6-3 in the month of November. And so by the end of this month, they should still be in a decent position. But it'll be the later months when they're going to have to go on the road trips and that sort of thing. And also they have to deal with injuries too, which will test their forward depth. And that's when we'll see what this team, the talented team, is really made of.
Always appreciate talking with you, Sheng. Where can people find your stuff?
Find me at Sheng_Peng, SHENG_PENG. And also find my work at Fear of the Fin.
All right. Thanks a lot. And happy Thanksgiving to you early, since it's coming up next week.
Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, right. Sheng.
Sheng Peng there. Tonight, also a special night, Hockey Fights Cancer Night. We're going to give some thoughts about that. But if you would like to see the game tonight and be one of the people in the crowd, we need another number.
Joe Thornton has the record, the single season record for assists for the San Jose Sharks. With 92.
That's a lot of assists.
Caller number 92.
Caller 92, 702-876-1340, 702-876-1340. Back to wrap it up next on Hockey Fights Cancer Night. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. All right, welcome back. Wrapping it up. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Congratulations to Ryan. Ryan's going to be checking out the game tonight. Vegas Golden Knights and the San Jose Sharks. Thanks once again to our good friend Shang Peng, Fear the Finn, up in the Bay Area. And tonight is not just a normal hockey game, not just because it's against the Sharks, the number one rival of the Vegas Golden Knights, but it has much deeper and more meaning than that. November is always Hockey Fights Cancer Month, and tonight is the Hockey Fights Cancer game at T-Mobile. And I know that this is a very important night and a very touchy but important subject to all of us.
Yeah, so I'll go first because people seem to like it when we share a little bit about ourselves. I did lose my mom to cancer, and it's crazy. Yesterday was my son's third birthday, and it dawned on me just after we sang him happy birthday that this is the second birthday my mom has missed. So my son's three, and my mom missed more birthdays than she had with him. And it's tough. It's hard. It's terrible. But this is a night where we recognize people that are still fighting, that are still in the fight. We recognize the families that have lost those that they loved. And we'll continue every single time there's a Hockey Fights Cancer, every single time there's a birthday or a celebration that is missed out on by somebody. Know that we will not stop fighting until there is some type of cure, something that prevents this from affecting others. And also know that you're not alone. Look to your left, look to your right. Someone's dealt with it before.
I lost my dad, brain cancer, September 15th, 2015. Kind of similar. Today is my son's 12th birthday, but he had at least the opportunity to spend some birthdays with my father. Lost my grandmother, his mom, to leukemia when I was really young. So it's affected me, and you know, every day I think of my dad, and I think about how proud of me he would be if he was around today to see what I've done since I came home from Asia. And you know, that was the hardest part for me because I was living over there while my father was dealing with this, and I got on the plane in Hong Kong not knowing whether he was going to be here or not when I landed, and he passed away when I was on somewhere over the Pacific. And you know, Nathan Adelson Hospice, big shout out to them. They did a tremendous job, and they waited for me to come, and they allowed me to spend a final few moments with him. And you know, they didn't rush me, and I will always remember the care that those people at that hospice had for my father, who they didn't even know.
And it's like Ryan said, too. I mean, I don't think anybody who's been around for any length of time whatsoever doesn't know somebody that's been touched by or had cancer or something. My mom had some cancer. She passed away a while ago. My oldest brother, Fred, has actually beat cancer twice. He had cancer. He went on. He was living a healthy, happy life. And a couple years ago, it came back again after like almost 10 years. But once again, he found it early enough. He got the early detection. He was fortunate enough that he didn't have to go under chemo and things like that. But he did beat cancer. He's beat it twice now. So I know there's a group of people that say, you know, that there's a group of, you know, cancer beaters of multiple times and that kind of stuff. So it's a nasty thing. It's a shame that it is still around. But like you mentioned, to the hospices out there and to the hospitals and all the people fighting against it, hopefully someday this wicked, disgusting, evil disease will be wiped off the face of the earth. But until it's not, we need nights like Hockey Fights Cancer and the other things that people do, and just hope and pray that someday this this ridiculous disease will be wiped out. But until it is, thanks to everybody out there fighting it, and God bless everybody who's fighting it right now, and hopefully, like my brother, you can beat it, and if it comes back, beat it again.
You're not alone. We're all pulling for you. I think that's the biggest thing, and doctors, nurses, everyone that my mom encountered was phenomenal and made her feel special in her fight. And for that, I'm eternally grateful.
Right. And my oldest brother, and he's been adamant about this with me and my brother John and the rest of us too, go get it checked out. Go to a doctor, get a checkout, get your screenings, get things out there. Because you don't always do stuff just for you. You do it for the other people that love you as well. That's going to do it for us. Hopefully you can join us tonight. 6:30, we'll be on with a pregame up in Hyde Lounge. JT the Brick is next. Thanks for listening. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio.